and to see what God is doing among us. And so as we're moving forward, we're just praying about what is it to see, and to see what's going on. Part of it is in using a space like this today. Part of my desire here is for us to see what a different space looks like and what that means for the dynamic of worship. Because we won't be rattling around in a bigger building anymore. We will be in a space that is more fit to what we have and then be able to multiply. And so I want you to get an idea of that and to see that we're looking for similar space and realize why this is a good, you know, and to realize that what we're going to think about going forward and to imagine in a new day is to think about multiplication. And this was something we've talked about from the beginning of the year. We talked about multiplication and transformation. Last weekend or week ago at our Equip conference, one of the words that just kept coming to me and people speaking this into our lives as a church was just that word multiplication. And the advantage that we have to be able to train leaders purposefully, add new services in, new worship services in, and plant new churches. And we really do need to imagine a new day. And sometimes getting into a space like this, we have to be able to sit back and go, what does this look like? I will tell you this. The process hit me early when we had an offer and I'm walking through all of the negotiations and everything. That's a new day for me. And then when we start to look at space and we have people go into a space and all of a sudden you look around and you go, wow, it's small. Like, yes, it is. Because we're going to multiply. We're not going to add, we're going to multiply. And so... You know, but when we get into it, I'll tell you what I've realized, and some of you may start to realize as we keep moving forward, theory is so much more fun than practice. I mean, talking about it all day long is a lot of fun. But then you go, oh my goodness, we got to do this, you know, and so it's we are in the midst of practical, and it's really time to imagine a new day. And that's why I want to have us look at the life of Abraham and help us see some of those things. And like we read in Scripture this morning out of Hebrews 11:8, he didn't know where he was going. You know, he just knew the Lord is telling him to go. And we look at Abraham's world, and part of it is probably Ur out of the Chaldees is where he probably started. And then his father takes them up to Haran in that area, and they settle in. So the realization is this. Abram was Iraqi and then moved in with the Syrians. Deal with it. And then out of Haran, he gets called and the Lord tells him to move and he doesn't know where, you know. Same with us. Where are y'all moving? I don't know. I don't, you know, and we don't, but we're honing in on it, you know, and so we need to reflect on that. And so one of the question of the day that we started with today, just reflect on this, and let me hear from some of you. Well, reflect back to a time that you moved. How did you feel?
Frustrated.
Why was it frustrating?
Other things.
Yeah, Kelsey and Ben are going through some frustration because they thought they had a certain date for closing. And they called and they said, well, we didn't have that date down. So there's frustration. What else? How'd you feel moving?
Well, when my landlady's a go-to, yeah.
There's panic, yeah. There can be panic, yeah. I'm sorry? Yeah, the legal aspects of everything that has to come together. Johan? Yeah, because you moved out of my basement. Yeah. And that is exciting. I was excited. You still live in a basement, though. I just, okay. But, yeah. But it's a nice apartment. It really is. It's really cool. It is. It's exciting. There is an excitement to it. What else? What do you feel? Right, yeah, it's the taking, there's an excitement, and then there's the taking on the responsibility.
The reality.
And yeah, because what happens when something breaks? Yeah, now it's your responsibility. There's no superintendent to call, you know, there's no landlord to call, and you go, hey, fix this, you know, you got to call yourself up, fix this, that's not good,
Relief?
How so?
There you go. Yeah. So there are good things, right? What's Abraham going through when he's moving?
Yeah, moving his family, but what else is he leaving behind? He's leaving his roots behind. He's leaving all the rest of his family. This is just not done. And that's so there's that whole process of I'm taking my family, but I'm leaving this rootedness.
Yeah, inheritance, because it's everything's tied to land. What else do you think Abraham's feeling?
And then you all, that's right. Got lots of camels. But yeah, it's just all of that. So he's giving up a lot of things. And those are the things that we need to think about, okay? We're giving up the familiar. Abraham gave up the familiar, okay? We're giving up the routine. Okay? And you really honestly need to realize that. They get to go out and play. I'm watching these kids go out and play.
Yeah, you
do. And I don't get to go out and play. We're going to change up our routine. We're going to go outside.
Yeah.
He's giving up the familiar. He's giving up the routine. And that's what we're doing. You know, we're asking you to give up the familiar. We're asking you to give up the routine. We're asking you to step up in huge ways. You know, that all of us step up. We need to step up in our giving. We need to step up in our mentality. We need to step up in our willingness to serve and our willingness to multiply, our willingness to leave some comfort, because as we multiply, that means we'll add services. That means we need some splitting to go on, so that life can continue to reproduce. You know, and those are the things that are uncomfortable. And so you've got, you know, and for what? In Abraham's case, for what? I mean, he has no idea. There is this promise, and we read it in chapter 12, in verse 1. It says, the Lord said to Abram, leave your land, your family, and your father's household for the land I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Those who curse you, I will curse. All the families of the earth will be blessed because of you. And Abram left just as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all of their possessions, and those who became members of their household in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. When they arrived in Canaan, Abram traveled through the land as far as the sacred place at Shechem at the Oak of Moreh. The Canaanites lived in the land at the time, and there the Lord appeared to him. Verse 7, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I give you this land to your descendants. So Abram built an altar there to the Lord who appeared to him. And then, you know, so it's not knowing where he's going, but some lessons that we can learn from Abraham in his travel. One is that everywhere you see Abraham encounter God, he builds an altar. He is a man of worship. He put himself in the position to hear God in the first place in Haran. He puts himself in position to hear because he is worshiping. And every place that he goes throughout his life, the author of Genesis helps us to note this, that every place he goes, he builds an altar when he encounters God. He worships there. We have to constantly be people of worship and people of prayer and people of intimacy with God, and we cannot leave this. So we constantly are calling this body to prayer. Every Sunday night, we come together to pray at our house. Every quarter, where we try to build in prayer and praise nights. Every week, we call ourselves to worship on a Sunday morning, and we recalibrate our lives in worship at the table of the Lord. It is out of worship where we will hear God best. When we are in motion in prayer, when we are in motion in the Word, the Spirit has an opportunity to speak. You know, it was in prayer, and these are the things that I think about constantly about where the Lord's taking us. And I look back because there are those times in the you know, where you just go, I mean, in the last couple of weeks, I'm just waiting on, you know, paperwork and word from brokers and all this other stuff, and there are these times where I just go, what did I just lead us to? You know, what did I just do here? And I sit and I'm going, and the Lord will remind me, when did you hear me? And what did I say? You know, and it's in prayer the Lord gave us vision. And it's in prayer the Lord gave me vision for new churches and for owning a country. You know, and it was in prayer last year the Lord began to birth the idea of transforming the church and ministry and selling the property and finding a new place and starting up a business and all of those things. And we, you know, the thing is we talk about how sometimes we don't hear God. But here's the fact of the matter. Sometimes we're not doing a good job of listening. We talk about how we don't hear God, but a lot of times it's because we're just not putting ourselves in a position to listen. You know, we ask a question and we sit for a few minutes and listen, and then hearing nothing, we move on. But that's not what we need to do. What we need to do is put ourselves in a position to worship. Not to sit and say, God, I'm asking you a question, how come you're not answering? But to put ourselves in a position where we talked about the Lord's Prayer for a few weeks ago, and the position of, you go in the front door, you don't go in the side door. The side door is you go in asking a question. The front door is you go in and you adore the one who's waiting for you. You go in the front door and realize the greatness of God, and you worship Him and you give thanks to Him and you lift up His name and you make His name beautiful, and then you put yourself in a position to say, your kingdom come, your will be done. Worship is that front door. We go in adoring Him and we will hear better. Abraham heard God in worship, and we need to establish the place of the altar in our lives. And what I want to do now is just, let's just take some time and let's just lift up His name right now. I want you to just lift up the name of the Lord right now. I'm going to read from a Psalm 103, and let's just give our voice our own praise to this. But let's just lift up our hands. I mean, if you just want to stand and worship, but let's spend some time right now. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul. And forget not all His benefits, who forgives all of your sins. Lord, I thank You for forgiving all of our sins. Lord, thank You for Your forgiveness and Your grace in our lives. Lord, that morning by morning, new mercies we see. Lord, You are the one where the psalmist says You heal all our diseases. Lord, there is nothing beyond kingdom blessing. Lord, there is no cancer. There is no broken bone. There is no nerve ending. There is no amount of depression that can so sweep us that You cannot heal. So, Lord, we are grateful for Your healing. You have redeemed our lives from the pit. You crown us with love and compassion. You satisfy our desires with good things, and we mount up on wings like eagles. Lord, we lift up Your great name. Lord, I pray, help us to be people of the altar. Lord, that we will go in worshiping You and lifting up Your great name, because You are worthy. Lord, Your name be exalted. Your name be exalted. Hallelujah. 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 Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Glory to Your name. Glory to Your name. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Lord, I pray that we are people constantly of the altar. Lord, that when we gather on a Sunday, we're here to lift up the name of Jesus. When we gather in prayer on a Sunday night, we lift up the name of Jesus. Lord, on Monday and Tuesday, we lift up the name of Jesus. Let a song of praise be in our hearts every day. Let us not forget all of Your benefits. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. The second thing about Abraham is he was a man of vision. Look over in chapter 13.
Chapter 13, and in this particular chapter, Abram and Lot have really grown. They've settled into the land, and they're seeing amazing things happen, and so it's time to split the land. Abram lets Lot choose, and Lot goes his particular way. But in verse 14, it says this, in chapter 13 of Genesis, "After Lot separated from him, the Lord said to Abram, 'From the place where you are standing, look up and gaze to the north and the south and the east, because all the land that you see, I give you and your descendants forever. I will make your descendants like the dust of the earth. If someone could count the bits of dust on the earth, then they could also count your descendants. Stand up and walk around the length and breadth of the land, because I am giving it to you.'" He was a man of vision. And you know what part of that vision is? Part of the vision, getting our bodies up. Part of it is, some of it really is, walking around a place. When we first moved back here, moved from Colorado, and there were a couple of opportunities when we were praying about where the Lord would want us to land and what the Lord could do and what could the Lord do. There is still a spot I can take you, because I was walking in prayer. There's still a spot I can take you where the Lord needs to walk the land. So part of that is what I want to invite you to as well. The weather is getting good again, and I want you to walk. I want you to walk our current property. And this next week, I want you to go over there, and I want you to get out of your car, and I want you to walk it. I want you to stand there and bless that land. We need to have a good report on the environmental survey, and I want you to pray for a good report and to bless that land. The people of God are people of blessing, not cursing. And we want to bless that land. And I want to invite you to walk on that property and to walk the perimeter and just bless it and just ask the Lord for a good report. And then if you want to walk up to 41st and Central and you want to walk down there and go into Yaffa, don't go into the hookah bar. Go into Yaffa. Get a gyro, okay? Say hi to Fawad for us, you know? But to walk through. And not just that. Not just about walking particular property. Why not sometime you just park over there in Heights Plaza and walk over to 40th and Central and just stand there and just look in every direction and begin to bless and begin to ask God what He wants to do in Columbia Heights and begin to pray for people. I stand at 25th and Lowry, which is 25th, Lowry and Central, a lot, waiting for a bus, and I'll just turn my body in every direction and look and just bless and say, "Lord, what do you want to do?" We need to begin to put ourselves in position to be able to see. I invite you to drive by our schools and to sit there, to get out and to stand and to bless our schools. Our city hall is just right up the street here. Just to go by the city hall and to bless those who are in our city hall and help our government. To go across the street from our current church and bless those who work in the fire and police department. To walk and to see and to get a sense for people who are here and to give yourself the chance to hear God. And it's one reason I want to get you into a space in a place like this, because for some of you, maybe you've never visited Merzen Hall. Maybe you didn't know this place was even here. It's in our city, you know. And I want you to get out. I want you to see some things, you know. So, you know, and we need to be able to get, sometimes we get so focused on our lives and we see our house and then we go to our work and then we go to church and then we go to our house and then we go to work and then we go to church, you know. We don't get our eyes up much and see what's going on around us and say, "Lord, what are you doing?" So let's walk and take some time and take some time this week to go over to the church or take some time to stand at 40th and Central or 40th and University and just look around. You don't have to do anything like crazy or anything. If you do, I'll disown you if the police call me. I don't know. But take a walk through the city. Think of the new possibilities and see what God is doing. And we want to be able to do that. Then the other thing that really gets to the core of Abraham's life, and this is part of what we read in Genesis 15,
He was a man of deep belief. It was, you get to the end of Abraham's life, and he does not have descendants as numerous as the sands on the seashore. He's got one kid. He didn't even have grandkids. He's got one kid. And it goes back to this passage in Genesis chapter 15 where he's wondering, God, what are you doing? Sarah doesn't have a kid. She's getting up there. I'm getting up there. We're getting into the realm of impossibility here. Is it Eliezer? What's going on? And then in verse 4 of chapter 15, the Lord's word came immediately to him. And he said, this man, meaning Eliezer, this man will not be your heir. Your heir will definitely be your very own biological child. Then he brought Abraham outside. And I love this picture. And he said, look up at the sky and count the stars if you can count them. This is how many children you will have. And I get that understanding of just maybe in some physical way the presence of the Lord is there, and Abram's looking up, and God just kind of reaches around him with his hands just placed around him and just saying, believe this. And then in verse 6, without anything other than the word of the Lord, it says, verse 6, Abram trusted the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him as righteousness. It is a powerful covenant moment because he has to choose to believe God without any other sign. He had to choose, would God do this or not? And without sight of even a son, he chose. What moves me forward? What moves us forward? Friends, it's not just about a place to go. It's not just about a coffee shop and having a lot of fun along the way. It's about the call of God and understanding what He's called us to bring hope and healing and deliverance to this city, to speak freedom into this city. And the reality of it is will we walk on in faith? Can I walk on in faith? Even if I get to the end of ministry or the end of my life, and what if I get to the end of my ministry and I don't see 5 new churches planted? What if we don't own Ethiopia? Can I still say with Abraham at the end of his life, as Paul said at the end of his life, I know in whom I have believed, that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him. Actually, if we could, I'd like for us to stop right now and pray for Ethiopia. In the last couple of weeks, if you've paid attention to the news, ISIS has struck again. They kidnapped a couple of dozen, as I understand it, Ethiopian Orthodox Christians and killed them on video. And one of the missionaries that I met over there last year when I was over there teaching, he sent me a message and said it's really rattled the nation right now. They've been fairly protected. And now it's really rattling the nation. So let's just stop and pray. Lord, you have placed in our hearts the nations of the world, and we're so grateful for that. And Lord, for one missionary couple, Doug and Corrine Lohnberg, that we support, they're there and they're getting ready to come back to the States for a little bit. But Lord, there are other missionaries that are there, and Ethiopia is such a key place. But Lord, this action of ISIS has shaken the nation. And so, Lord, we want to lift up the nation of Ethiopia today. And we want to lift up our brothers and sisters in the church. Lord, in the Orthodox Church, in the Evangelical Church, in the Pentecostal Church, all believers who call on your name, Lord, we ask that you would be the one who will give them strength and faith today. Lord, I pray that you would do a great work in Ethiopia. You have called that nation precious in your sight. So Lord, may no weapon formed against those believers prosper.
Amen.
Lord, let ISIS crumble to nothing, and let the church rise up in glory, proclaiming the power of Jesus Christ. If we don't plant another church, if we don't do anything more in Ethiopia, can I still step away knowing that God has done something? Can we truly see it? And we need the place of vision. Abram had to be brave. He had to change up his routine. He had to leave Haran to do this. You know, and it's for us the same thing. Sometimes that place of vision is you got to change some things up. One of my favorite sayings I kept getting reminded of this week as the Lord was, you know, saying, where have I led you? What am I telling you to do? Where am I taking you? Is that phrase, when you always do what you always done, you'll always get what you always got.
Amen.
Okay? When you always do what you always done, you'll always get what you always got. And sometimes we need to realize the Lord's saying, get up and move. And change it up. Abraham could have stayed in his homeland, but he stepped out without knowing the total end result. And we find ourselves in that place. And we find ourselves in a place of great faith. And it's time for a great walk of faith in our lives. We need to continually see what God is calling us to. You know, part of it, again, is to be in a space like this so we can see what a smaller space looks like and for us to imagine what that looks like. And I want us to imagine doing this several times over in a weekend. And then once a quarter, we gather together with all of those different services and we gather in a larger space, like, say, the Heights Theater, and we celebrate what God is doing together. The miraculous needs to happen, and part of what we need to realize about the miraculous is sometimes when we're setting sail, we want to stay a little too close to the shoreline. The miraculous rarely happens inside of the shoreline. You have to get out. You have to walk without knowing where you're going sometimes. Think of this. Christopher Columbus, when he sailed to New Worlds, he had no idea. Now, okay, I'm not like going to make him a hero. He had no idea where he landed. I get that, okay? But you need to understand something else. The crew that he took had to buy into something they had never done. Not one of them had been more than 300 miles offshore. Not one of them. And they all had to imagine something different. And then do it. And what we need to do is we need to let the shoreline disappear and see what God has ahead for us. Walking on water may look fun, but when we're willing, are we willing to get out of the boat when Jesus says come? We can have fun with theory, but we're past theory now, and we're into practice. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord.